Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be here with you all this day. The big thing is we have some food after the service today. Would you like to say a word?
But anyway, we'd like for everybody to join us, and we are accepting donations. If you would like for your donation to be, through the church, for that you made a donation to the church, then you can write it to Asbury, but designate it to Friendship Circle. Our proceeds go to Jones School for their clothes closet. They have a really major need for underclothing, and Asbury is a big supporter of Jones School, and so that's where we're going to take all the money that we make for today. I think that's it for this, but...
Thank you, Marty. Well, if you think of it, just feel free to, interrupt the sermon or whatever.
Everybody in this congregation. Friendship Circle is trying to develop a casual directory, and we'd like this casual directory to be published before Christmas. So if I haven't taken your photograph in the last year, and that's from the last luncheon that we had over at the YMCA, then I need to take your photograph. And if you want an updated one, I'll give you another one, like if you've changed and gotten a new hairdo or something. Who knows? But I've gotten 68 images, which means 68 people, 68 families, 68 individuals, just in that whole group of things. But today is my last day to do that because we really do want to pull this thing together so that we can have this casual directory so that we can see who everybody is.
Thanks, Marty. I just draw your attention to the other announcements that are listed in your bulletin this day, particularly about the Sam's Club meeting and our updated manna food drive. We've now collected 1,530 pounds towards our one-ton goal, so thank you for your continued help with all that. And also the announcement there about the next Safe Sanctuaries training session. David, do you have anything to add to that? Continuing with our monthly stewardship emphasis thing, our finance chairperson representative, Brian Wallace, has a word for us. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Stewardship moment is about gifts. And I think most of us, when we think of gifts, think of Christmas, birthdays, anniversaries. But gifts, I think, comprise a whole lot more than that. And John said a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. And if you think about it in that context, then it becomes a whole different gamut than Christmas, birthdays. It becomes a little more less material. Things like talents, being able to teach, being able to sing, being able to play a musical instrument. It becomes gift of your time, serving on a committee. But it also includes money, your money. Romans, paraphrasing, says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. I think most of you are aware that our giving is 10 to 15% behind what it was this time last year. So as Kitty, who's not here, would say, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity here to give generously, to make up our pledges and our estimates and catch up. And I'm here to encourage you to do that. It's sort of like a challenge. we can get this done if we work together and give generously. And I think I'm a sports guy, so some of you may remember a baseball player by the name of Yogi Berra. He wasn't the brightest guy, but he was a good baseball player. He played for the Yankees. He was a catcher. And he is attributed to having many famous quotations. One of them is that baseball was 50% physical and 90% mental. Now, Yogi wasn't a math guy, obviously. But I think he had something here in that if you believe that you can do something, then you are probably far more likely to succeed than if you believe you can't do something. And I believe we can make up this shortfall. And I think we can do it together by giving generously and living up to our and honoring our pledges and our estimates. And if we do, I'm not on the Finance Committee next year, but I think I can speak for the Finance Committee. And Merritt, you probably might like this. I think it's pretty safe to say that if we can obtain take advantage of this opportunity and get our giving back up to the level that we pledged and estimated that we would, I think one of the first things the Finance Committee may do would be to restore missions to the level that it is this year. And missions is an important part of what we do because it does do a lot of things beyond this church and its maintenance and salaries and so forth. So I would encourage everyone to take advantage of this opportunity to give generously so that we can meet this year's budget, but of course restore some of the things in next year's budget to the level it is this year. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Well, I invite you to stand as you're able for our opening hymn. It is one of my favorites. It's one you may not know very well, but we're going to sing just the first three verses of it for our opening hymn and the last two as our closing hymn. It's a British favorite, I hope. Brenda, Margaret, Derek. And can it be that I should gain? And I invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the Psalter, to number 789, as we read responsibly from the 65th Psalm. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion.
And to you shall vows be performed.
To you who hear prayer, all flesh shall come because of their sins.
When our transgressions prevail over us, you forgive them.
Blessed are those whom you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts.
We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple.
By dread deeds you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. Who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples, so that those who dwell at earth's farthest bounds are afraid at your signs.
You make the morning and the evening resound with joy.
You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it.
The river of God is full of water. You provide its rain, for so you have prepared it.
You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth.
You crown the year with your bounty. The tracks of your chariot drip with fatness.
The pastures of the wilderness drip. The hills gird themselves with joy.
The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy.
Please be seated, and I invite our children to come down for our children's time.
Get the soft seat, and I'm over here on the floor. What's wrong with that picture? Good morning. I want you to tell me what this is. It's a globe, and what does it represent? The earth, the whole earth, the world. So how big a part are we on this earth? You know where North Carolina is? Here's the United States. That's right, there's North Carolina. That's right, Northern Hemisphere. So we aren't that great, are we, on the map? Just a little spot here in Asheville in North Carolina in this great big world. But did you know that we can actually do wonders even though we're not very big? We're just a few little people right here in this little state, in this country, because we can go out and help the rest of the world, especially children, have the things they need to have. Do you get up in the morning and think, oh, I wonder if I'll have any food today? No, you pretty much know you will. Do you, if you get sick, think, oh, I wonder if I'll have any medicine? You probably don't want. You may not want it, but I bet you'll get it. Or have you ever been in for your shots that keep you from getting sick? No, well, nobody likes them, but when you think about what good they do, everybody needs them, right? Even I, at my age, still get shots, like shingle shots. So it's a good thing to get them, and flu shots. So we all need the same things. We need food, don't we? Water that's clean, won't make you sick to drink it. Medicine to keep us from getting sick, or medicine to make us well if we do get sick. Education. And did you know that a lot of children around the world don't get up every day knowing that they're going to have those things, and most of them aren't getting those things. So that you are going to be able to help by doing what? What is this little box, Cora? Trick or treat for UNICEF. This is the most important little box you could hold in your hand ever, because this is going to help children around the world. UNICEF works in over 190 countries all around the world, and territories. So people all over the world can benefit from your going out with this little box. And what are you going to say when you go out? For UNICEF. Remember to add the UNICEF. Trick or treat for UNICEF. Because you are children helping other children. And that's what makes this so special. Because a lot of our things that we do, grown-ups go and do it. And grown-ups give the money. And grown-ups deliver the food and that kind of thing. But this is about children helping children. Although I'm going to ask the grown-ups to help too, since we don't have that many children today. But anyway, $1. If you just come back with $1 in your bag, in your box, you can provide protein biscuits for a child. $6 can buy a soccer ball to help children in refugee camps get exercise. $20 buys nets to keep mosquitoes from biting them. $35 can provide the vaccine to protect 50 children from diseases. So on this map, you can see here I have things, a map, got all kinds of things that they send me. And you can see different symbols on it. What do you think that picture of a mosquito means that they're going to get in that part of the world? The nets. And then there's a syringe here, a hypodermic needle. What are they going to get there? Shots. So you're helping kids all around the world in over 190 countries when you go out. So I need you to practice saying for me very loudly, trick or treat for UNICEF. All right, do it again, even louder. Trick or treat for UNICEF. And I hope people will come and give you money, and then you can bring it back next week. And I only ordered 50 boxes. Does anybody else want a box? Please take one.
Lots of opportunity.
When you're on the way to the vending machine here in your office this week, stop and put that money in your UNICEF box. You've already got one? From this year? Okay. All right. So anyway, trick or treat for UNICEF. Remember that. And let's say a little prayer, okay? Repeat after me. Dear God, help me as a child to help other children and continue to help even as I grow up. Amen. Okay, well, fortunately, we have four of you for the bread tin offering, which this month goes to UMCOR for, you can go over down that side. You want to do it? Okay. Which side are you going down? UMCOR, which is United Methodist Committee on Relief, which helps in disaster. Oh, I just snapped my dress. I'm sorry. Helps in disaster. Excuse me.
While the children are doing that, we have a guest speaker today. I'm glad to hear what Brian had to say. And some of you know that we, as part of our budget, make contributions to Habitat for Humanity. We also make volunteer contributions. We had two volunteers there yesterday. Today's guest has been in our church before. She's Maria Lamelli Garcia. She's a junior at UNC Asheville. And she's also in this picture, which you may have seen out in the foyer where we have pictures of Habitat houses that we've helped to build. And I've asked Maria if she'll just come say something about why it's a good thing to give money to Habitat.
So, hi, everyone. I'm really excited to be here again. I think it was probably over a year that I came with my mother and my brothers. And I want to say thank you so much for the support you give to Habitat for Humanity. Why it's a good thing to support Habitat? Because it's helping families afford a safe home where their children can play, a safe home where they know that they're not going to worry so much about the mortgage or anything of that nature. But what I want to share with y'all is the fact that my mom was able to raise her four children together, and we were able to be blessed with a Habitat for Humanity home because she's the only one who actually... She's the household of the family, and she works at the Ingalls Warehouse at Swannanoa as a forklift. So to be able to have a four-bedroom home is a true blessing for us because we used to live in a three-bedroom apartment. And it was a small three-bedroom apartment, but it was the only thing we could afford to live in, right? And so just by your contribution to helping Habitat, you're helping so many families out because not a lot of us are able to pay for a mortgage through a home with interest, right? And so just to support Habitat Just to support Habitat means a lot to the people that you're supporting, all the families, because we, all of us deserve a home where we feel safe and where we can just come every day after school and just be able to eat and, you know that we're safe. And so thank you so much for listening to me, and please support Habitat. Thank you.
I'd like, Ms. Garcia, will you stand up? That's your mother. And I'd like to clarify one thing. Thank you, Maria. People in Habitat homes pay for them. They pay the mortgage. The mortgage is slightly reduced because of the help that we're able to give, but they're paying for their house. Thank you for coming, Maria.
Well, as we prepare our hearts and our minds for God's Word, let us pray together. Our prayer for illumination is printed in the bottom of our bulletins. Let us pray. Almighty God, in whose service lies perfect freedom, teach us to obey you and inspire us to serve you with loving hearts and steadfast wills. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The first scripture lesson is from Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2 and 6 through 12. And if you're wanting to look at it in the Pew Bible, it's on page 492. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. The word of the Lord. Thank you.
I invite you to hear now our gospel lesson, taken from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus: God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, be merciful to we sinners. Help us that we might hear your word, even in spite of my words. Amen. Anyone ever watch Saturday Night Live back in the day? I know when I say back in the day, it probably means something different than when some of you would say back in the day. I imagine some of you would think Dan Aykroyd, Steve Martin, that sort of thing. I tend to think Adam Sandler and Chris Farley and all those guys. But one of my favorite moments on Saturday Night Live was a little segment that was very, very short, and it was simply called Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy. Anybody ever remember those? Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy? It was very small little thing. They usually would show on the screen a nice serene picture of a mountain scene, you know, and it would have in like little cursive letter, Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy. And it was usually something not very profound, like, I wonder if you reach enlightenment while drinking chocolate milk, does it make milk shoot out of your nose? You know, things like this. But there was one particularly memorable Deep Thought by Jack Handy, who is an actual person, by the way. It went thus. It was that popular aphorism that comes to mind, I think, when we hear stories like the Pharisee and the tax collector about judging. Never judge a person until what? You've walked a mile in their shoes. And then another part of that came on the screen, and it said, because then, when you judge them, you're a mile away from them, and and you have their shoes. I love that. So many times we fail to think through the consequences of our deep thoughts, but then you're a mile away, and you have their shoes. I like that. But it's so easy to be critical of the Pharisee. It's so easy to judge him whether we have his shoes and are a mile away, isn't it? He's so self-righteous. He's that guy that you love to hate. He's so perfect. None of us like people like that.